One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Today's episode is brought to you by Bark Technologies. With parental control monitoring apps and the new Bark phone, Bark is the best comprehensive parental control tool for families. Listen to today's episode for more details. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. I'm keeping it because it's already a retake. A funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa is my lovely wife and co-host, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Also with us is our producer, Andy Lara.
Hello.
and we have a special guest with us today, as seen on Jimmy Kimmel, Conan. He has a dry bar special, 2017's new face. Sorry, that's just for comedians. Comedy Central, much more. Kellen Erskine is here, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome.
A quick cheers to us all. Melissa drinkers already.
I had a shot glass of espresso.
To it all.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We really appreciate you guys. I would tell you what Kellen is drinking, but he asked me not to.
That sounds so much worse.
I'm just respecting your wishes.
Yeah.
I'm just respecting your wishes. So
I had a shot glass, but it has espresso in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
we're a
family podcast here, everybody. You don't need to make such negative assumptions about what people judge your lifestyle. Everyone knows if there's a day drinker on this podcast, it's Andy. Sorry, that was comedy.
Hey.
How else would you sit through listening to us each week?
No kidding.
Sorry, I don't know.
Sometimes
this is very
so bad because Andy has to re-listen to it and then chop it up and then edit the video, and I just feel so bad that he has to keep listening to us.
He probably
dreams about it.
You know he's.
I do. I dreamed about it before you had the podcast. Just living it now.
Just a super fan.
You know, I don't know what's worse though. He's paid to do that. His job as the producer.
Yeah.
You have told me that you listen to our podcast when you grocery shop.
I get so anxious at the grocery store. I need something like calming, but I can also tune out.
You're like, you know what calms me is reliving an argument.
What's wrong with that?
That soothes me like the sound of my own voice.
I listen to my podcast.
Yeah.
Back and my co-host, he never listens to it, but it bothers me because you have such a delightful laugh, Melissa.
Yeah.
My co-host does not laugh, and he's not even a comic.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like I'm a comic on the show. I am constantly laughing at him. I find him genuinely funny, but he has the quietest little laugh.
Yeah.
So it just sounds like he's the funny one the whole time.
No, I'm the comedy.
Yeah.
I'm the comedy.
Yeah.
Well, you should, Melissa, you should give yourself a little message to your future self right now.
Don't forget the bananas.
You do. You forget bananas a lot.
And breathing exercises.
breathing in bananas. How to survive middle-aged momdom.
I'm thriving.
Putting the pieces back together of our lives, as you said. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody, to our little podcast that could. It's great to have you backseaters here and to have Kellen here. Almost called you Ellen. That is just a an absolute merge of your names. It's been, you've dealt with that one before.
Constantly. Yeah. 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 I always, if I don't.
Well,
like,
you look like her too. And I'm sorry. It's a stupid joke.
If the host of a show like doesn't know me and they don't like triple check my name, I know it's going to be a disaster. But my favorite one, this guy, he's like, he was all flustered. He was in a hurry. I was already backstage. He's like, what's your name? And I said, Kellen Erskine. And he goes, got it. And I was like, there's no way you know about it. He gets out there and he's like, hey, everyone, welcome to the stage, Calvin Earthshine.
Which is a much cooler name.
Oh, that's what I thought. I didn't correct him.
Yeah.
Like, I should have changed that years ago.
Yeah. Calvin Earthshine. That's unbelievable. It's like a 70s funk name. That's unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. Calvin Earthshine's fan. Do you have a save for when they call you Ellen or you get your name wrong? Like an immediate, do you deal with it or are you just like, whatever, I don't even
know. I just go right into it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, my, if it's an unknown show, like if I'm just doing some showcase where I'm not, especially in LA where it's like, listen, I'm not Theo or Bobby Lee or Sarah Silverman, so they're already, it doesn't matter who I am, I'm not famous. I don't even acknowledge it. But the bit that I do about my last name sounding like the N-word came because it would get messed up on shows.
Wow.
Like, in football it would be like a joke, but it would happen every once in a while on shows, and there would be this awkward tension.
Oh, no.
I'd be like, what? This man was called a racial slur as he and then I walk up looking, you know, as just like you couldn't, as far as contrast of who should go on after that name, me being the most off-putting. And so like it almost like I requested it, like, you know, so it was kind of birthed out of that. But thankfully, I get enough respect around this city now that people get my name right and call me Justin Nicholson. Yours merges into Ellen and I can see that mine rhymes with more. Mine, they're very similar to more popular names, Justin and Nicholson. Like, those are much more common.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. It's like when people ask you your credits, what do you say? Like, hey, how do you want me to bring you up? I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly. I don't care.
Yeah.
Sometimes I say Conan Comedy Central because it's such a quick, it's alliteration. Have you ever worked with, who's the guy from SNL with the bug eyes? Chris Kattan.
Yeah.
You work with Chris Kattan.
No,
I could probably pull it up on my phone, but I hosted for him one time. He had 9 credits. And I was like, everyone here, just when you walk out, they know who you are. They bought tickets because they
want
to see you move your head. That's it. No one is sitting there like 7 credits in, like, oh, this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Corky got Romano. I forgot he did that one. Yeah. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It is like, that's such a non. That happens when non-comics start doing, non-stand-ups start doing stand-up, is they really think the intro matters a lot. And I guess it's because Chris Kattan, it is a little more of like an evening with. Like, it's not a traditional, it's funny you say that because I saw his like first 15 minutes the other day. I was in Tacoma. But it was an exchange in that I thought everyone was getting what they wanted out of the deal. You know what I mean? Like, about, did you have a different experience?
No, that was about it. It's like he's accepted that, which a lot of like YouTube and now Instagram stars need to accept. Like, this is not so much stand-up comedy. It's just, it's like a meet and greet.
Yeah, it's an extended meet and greet.
So he'll night with.
Sure,
it feels like an evening with. You know,
like, so he'll have like 4 openers and then.
Yeah.
He does his 27 minutes.
Yeah, I think he was doing like 35. Because that's funny, because I was in town and I had late night coming up. And so I needed to run the set. And I was there for like a corporate. And I hit up the booker. And I was like, is that okay? Or is that a big deal? Because Chris Kattan's here. And they're like, no, he wants as much time as possible eating up before you. That will not be an issue. But everyone was so happy. I was watching and it's like, you know, it's weird that happens in comedy clubs now, but they really are just venues. They're just like, and if it's on me for not selling more tickets.
Yeah. I used to be jealous and then I was like, well, I'll play the game too because there's no other venue for these kids to go.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And there is like a built-in safety to it. You know, you and I were talking about before this, there used to be a room, literally it was the side room of a Marie Callender's in the city that you live in, Valencia, California, kind of north of LA there. And It was. I did it a few times. It's funny when you look back of like, I sent avails to a pie club, a pie shop. Yeah. Like, oh, if you have anything available, you know, and they're like, ah, do you got anyone to vouch for you? So it's like the side room of not even, I remember making that joke. I was like, I can't even get in the main room of the Marie Callender's. We're in this side room. And you performed, the stage was a, what's it called? The forklifts move. It was
A pallet.
It was a pallet.
Yeah.
It was no wider than this table. It was like 4x4. That's what I say. I felt like it was like what like Rose was on at the end of Titanic. You were just floating in the sea. It was, people were eating. They were at Marie Callender's.
Still on the forklift? So
yeah. No, it was barely off the ground. Uh-huh. And you would, it was in Marie Callender's, so people would be eating like turkey pot pies. Mm-hmm. Like comedy club food a lot of time is made to be very quickly eatable.
Like,
but people had like napkins tucked into their shirts. They're eating, you know, country fried steak. You know, it's like, but I remember I was middling. I wasn't even headlining. And the host was Trevor Wallace.
Oh, wow.
Who is one of the biggest comedians in the world now. And it's so, him and I have talked about that. You're like, wow, he came from the side room. Now he's doing like theaters and stuff. And I'm like, is the pie shop still open? I could use a play in Nora and, but you did, or you played it once or twice too.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. That. I played that. I was just doing like a guest spot. So the guy running the show, the booker, he was like, I can't pay you tonight, but you can pick out a pie. So, you know how earlier in your career you would like drive 2 hours to do a gig that would pay for the gas you needed to get home?
Yeah.
I was just imagining like stopping by a Chevron, like, do you take
lemon meringue?
But I got it home, and my wife was more excited about that than any other show I'd done up to that point.
Yeah.
It was just something magical, Melissa, you were saying about the fact that it's free.
Yeah.
I was like, I could have bought you 7 pies yesterday.
Yeah.
Like a green room basket. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
My wife loves pie, though, to the point where one day she'd spent all day making this new recipe. It was blueberry sour cream. Sounds gross, but it was
that
really,
sounds
really
one of the
good.
Grossest things I can imagine. Right. Yeah,
but
yeah,
it was
yeah.
actually really...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You just grabbed 2 things in the fridge. Right. What random 2 things do we have in here?
It just works with a lot of stuff, but you don't think it
works.
Have
you guys ever had banana milk?
Yeah.
It's what we got in the fridge.
Yeah, now that you bring it up, you don't have to throw in just one of the ingredients, right? It could have just been called blueberry special.
Yeah. Or something. Ever like,
yeah, you're gonna love this flour cake.
Yeah.
So she spent all day on this thing, and she messaged me. I was at a show. She messaged me that as she was pulling it out of the oven, she'd forgotten to put on like one of the, you know, the pot holders. Yeah. And it spilled onto the floor. So she was like crying. Yeah. She was really invested in it. On the way back to that, from the show that night, I stopped by a Target and grabbed a gift card. It was a sympathy card for I'm sorry you lost your father. But every time it said the word father or dad, I replaced it with pie. And it like fixed every, and I bought her some dumb store-bought pie. I brought it home and it just fixed everything. And she like kept it. It's like a huge memory for her at that point.
Yeah.
To the point where like now I'm
gonna,
like.
What are you going
to
do when her dad dies? You already burned that one on the pie. What's the move?
That's such a good point. It's such a joke at this point. I wouldn't even be able to say anything to her because I don't have any lines.
You're going
to
make
sorry
her a pie?
For the loss of your phone.
Yeah. 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 You'd really, that was very short-sighted of you. Well, I just want to...
being thoughtful.
Yeah, I was. And I would just like to remind you that you, when you started, you were so happy to do those gigs where you did 2 hours and paid for gas.
Yeah.
You were not paying for your gas to do this podcast, which you drove 2 hours for, just so you know that. That unmentionable drink.
Beverage over there. You actually got that pouring rain. That was your payment.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I did, like, it's such a, like, cliche in Southern California to, like, complain about the weather, but it was so bad today. I was like, they should cancel school. It's bad. Which, I'm from Seattle, but we've lived here 11 years, and it is such an inconvenience because so much of your lifestyle is built outside here. Yeah, I don't know how it is in Valencia.
No, it's the same thing. Yeah, it's a desert.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, they don't handle it well at all. Mm. I know a lot of families, when they live near a theme park, they like to get an annual pass there. Are you an annual Six Flags holder?
We are. We're actually canceling it. I don't know if you've been there. Have you been there to Six Flags?
It's been like decades.
It has a reputation, though. Six Flags has a reputation for being a little rough.
Yeah, it is, which I don't understand because every year they install like a new $35 million roller coaster. Yeah. And it's like you couldn't invest $1,000 of that to repaint this fence over here.
what we need is metal detectors. Because there was that old thing where there was like violence at Six Flags because it was the one that's cheap enough that like gangs would get a group rate or something.
Oh, yeah. My parents would never take me to Six Flags.
That's like, so crazy to think about.
It's sketchy. Yeah.
It still is?
It still is sketchy. Like when you remember when they passed like marijuana is legal, now fully legal in California, I was afraid that everything was going to smell like weed because I can't stand the smell. It gives me a headache. It smells like a skunk to me. The only place I've ever smelled it was the parking lot of Magic Mountain.
So that's why you're canceling?
Oh, no. It's just it isn't worth it anymore because like every time you go, two-thirds of the rides are closed down. And that's my complaint with like Disneyland too. I think if you go, like I can't imagine these people from Europe who have planned this trip for 2.5 years.
Right.
They get there and they're like, oh, Indiana Jones is broken today. Like, I've been waiting 1,000 days to do. I think you should get a little discount on your ticket. Six Flags, it just does it so much that we live 5 minutes away and we're like, it's still not worth
it. Yeah. That's like when you go to SeaWorld and they're like, hey, we're not beating the orcas today. And you're like, this is why I'm here. This is precisely why I came. What do you mean?
I'm sorry.
What do you mean you're not hitting the dolphins? Why are you even open? If you're not, you guys, they hand you you can buy the little souvenir bats when you walk in. And it's like a group thing. I don't know.
Right. Isn't that what the bats are for?
That's what the bats are for, right? We brought our own. You know, the little mini bats, you know, SeaWorld, hit a dolphin. Are you guys a theme park family otherwise, though? This is a discussion I actually always like to do.
Okay,
so what's the family that you married? How many kids?
3 kids.
What are their ages?
6, 11, and 18.
People don't usually go down to up there. I've only seen, people usually start with the oldest there.
Oh, yeah.
That's an interesting. Are you?
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't know why
I came here to blow your minds.
Whoa! I can't recover. I don't even know what's real
next
anymore.
Next time somebody asks, I'm gonna go 11, 6, 18.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
they're gonna have to leave.
just
splits open the matrix. Yeah.
Just say your wife's age in there too for some reason. You're like, and my wife, what? Yeah. Well, our children.
How are you going to say it?
I don't know their ages, so I can't. I don't know. I'm impressed you named them that fast.
I'm going to do it. 9, 13. 15.
Yeah. I could have told you the general vicinity. Yeah,
that was a bit of a struggle for you to go in that order, huh?
Well, when you have as many as 3, a birthday is always, that's exactly it. A birthday
that's
is so near
true.
That you're like,
that's why
you're around someone's.
The 9-year-old turned 9 in February, and then the 15-year-old is going to be 16 in May, and I'm already thinking about that so much, so.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It's always in motion. Well, I can rattle them off because, especially living in LA, I've answered that question so many times. You probably know too, Southern California, maybe not San Diego so much, but LA, you say 3 kids to someone, they act like you said 17.
Yeah. You can't comprehend
having that many. And that's like, it's the smallest amount in like all of my extended family. Like, I don't know if you've gone beyond LA County, but
they're like
pretty.
You're like, you're done?
Yeah.
When's
that's
the next one? Yeah.
That question is such an insensitive question. Like, you have no idea my life, my wife, like anything when people are like, so you're done.
So you're done. I mean, Three.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. Three is like it's like the, a starter and bread? You're going to use that to grow the rest of the family. Who's going to run the farm? What if one of them dies? You got to have the replaced one. You know, it is. It's crazy. That happens a lot in comedy all the time, especially when you tell people other stand-ups. Stand-ups are the most self-centered, like narcissistic humans,
100%.
even in Hollywood standards, and that it's just like they can't comprehend that there are like other things in your life.
Yes.
Like what do you mean that you care for something else? I don't understand. So you take time to develop into someone other than yourself. And I get that it's hard, but yeah, they're like, it's a shocking development. If you tell in LA, if it's more common to have like three partners than three kids.
Oh,
You're like, well, I live with I'm in an open relationship and I have my three partners in LA. You're like, that's cool. I have three kids. Like, oh my gosh, that's blasphemy. Like, that's, you're tearing down America. You're harming America. We don't have the resources for that. Your lack of family values. You clearly don't care about anyone or anything that you would. I can tell nobody wants to go on this rant with me.
I'm there. I'm just holding my breath.
I'm not for or against
it. Andy's got four.
Oh, okay.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Think you're better than us?
Yep. Yeah. All 8, right. 3, 9, and 5.
Yay!
Oh my God!
You know what?
Just laying the lottery numbers. That's all you did there.
I didn't jump on that because it's like you're kind of calling your kids partners, and there's just I couldn't.
I understand.
I couldn't go with you.
No, that's fine. I have no judgment on it. Our official stance on everything is in the Nickerson household and people's decisions is I don't care. Just don't hurt people. What do I care? You live your life. It doesn't affect me. And
it's a very libertarian household.
Yeah. You just live your thing.
I'm not hurting anyone.
Yeah. What do I care? Yeah. You know, it's your thing. I don't.
Have you?
You think I care about you when you in your decisions? Yeah, no. Go ahead.
Have you ever worked cruise ships?
No,
I had to. Oh, I had to.
Yeah,
that's how I frame it.
Yeah,
because
sure.
it's hard to like the money's good, but you know that can also be like the allure of that can also be toxic.
Yeah,
you know? Like I thought I wanted to be a writer for a while too on sitcoms, but then people get locked into those jobs which are very comfortable,
right?
But it's not what I want to do, you know, because
right.
I want to be able to just say, you know, what I.
You
want to
write
say.
Your jokes for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
For a character.
Yeah. It was funny. I was just saying, like, you know, we both agree that, like, comics are so self-centered.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, yeah, they are. And I only want to be paid for what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, that's why we are so self-centered. I'm with you. I could never take a writer's job. Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. And that's, with cruise ship comics, I think I'm so lucky to be married and have kids because I don't know that I would have been able to be, like, forced to be selfless in the way that you are when you have kids.
It just
sort of like it biologically, spiritually just happens when you're holding your first child. You're like, oh yeah, not everything is about me, you know.
Right.
Now it's this, but yeah, I would meet these cruise ship comics. Often there's two on the ship, you know, and they are the epitome of all of that because you have these guys who have had this cushy job and many of them like are never married, never had kids or anything. So this is everything.
Mm-hmm.
They are used to being that. Not only the center of attention, but the center of this whole world.
Yeah. This universe.
Yeah, which is like, I didn't even like the attention at the time. I'm pretty introverted. I love being on stage, but afterwards, I don't want people to recognize me.
Yeah, after, not a cruise ship comic.
For the rest of the week. Yeah,
yeah,
but some of these guys thrive on that. And like getting stuck in a conversation with one of these guys backstage or during a meal or in a hallway, it's like your face to them is just this giant ear. They're the worst listeners.
And the only
thing that matters is everything that they are saying to you.
Yeah.
And it is so uninteresting
now,
to me.
Are they doing stories or are they doing.
Well, they're not. They're right. Not running new bits by you. They're not developing anything. I know.
And here's how else this ship has small rooms.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. No,
it's
they,
just all
sure
about
that,
their life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have a cruise hour that annihilates, though.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the one I didn't crush on the ships, but I took it as like as a good thing. Like, it's not a place where you want to kill.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had a guy in Vegas tell me that. It was when I was, like, I first started working a club there, and I was like bombing as the host. And he's like, listen, you're good. Here's some little tips to do better in Vegas. And he goes, you don't want to be a Vegas headliner.
Yeah. Yeah.
He goes, based on what you do and what you're trying to develop, you don't want 45 to an hour that crushes here. And it's very similar, I think, to a cruise, and that it's nothing against those guys and gals doing that, but it's not necessarily what you want, because it is a very specific thing that works in a very specific, and Vegas and cruise ships are the same audience.
Oh, yeah. It's not, the crowd is on average like 7% of those people love stand-up comedy. Everyone else is just there, and the next night they're going to be there for the Motown show, and the next night they're just coming to whatever the show is. So to have a set that's just going to blandly, just broadly kill.
Like, I thought
in front
I was seeing Calvin Earthstone. I think this is the good night. This is not what I expected. This skinny white guy is deadpanning some late night jokes. I mean, because you're very subtle in what you do. Like, you're not a big high energy guy, and you're drawing them into you. And they're all drinking, and they just came from a cabana party and lost money at the casino night.
I'm not what they want to see at all. Like, there's no spectacle to stand up already, but especially like me, I just basically stand there the whole time.
Yeah.
I have like one or two act outs, and like everyone, it's jarring because
that's hilarious.
I moved.
Yeah. Melissa, I am always worried about internet safety.
Yeah, especially with our kids.
Especially for you. I'm worried about what you are looking at, which is why I want to get Bark put on your phone.
Oh, boy.
Your phone, your laptop, your pager. I need to get Bark on
Bluetooth.
Your pager.
Yeah.
On your Bluetooth.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the little one in your ear.
Apple CarPlay.
As many of you guys know, we are parents. As many of you know, you all know we are parents.
Guys, we're parents.
We're parents, and internet safety is, I don't know if there's a thing that parents think about more anymore.
It is so important and so hard to keep track of.
Yeah, and thankfully, insert Bark Technologies. And then a hero comes along with Bark Technologies to monitor your kid's phone. And there's a new Bark phone, too. I didn't hit that. I missed that one. But before that, I was crushing that.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Bark Technologies is a friend of the pod, and we love them so much. There's a couple services that we've used with them over the year. The phone, the monitoring of your kid's phone, where they send you alerts and what they're looking at, and they have different levels and things, whatever it may be. It's fantastic. You're not spying on your kid. There's just certain things where Bark goes, hey, you might want to see this, and they show
check
it to
out
you.
This tech.
And even better, simplify your life, ladies and gentlemen. Bark has a new phone.
That's right. And it doesn't look like a kid's phone.
No,
it's black.
No.
It's sleek. Yeah. Phones and technology is improving, and this phone grows with your kid.
Oh.
So maybe your kiddo is, kind of inching into like an Instagram account.
Yeah.
Or wants to be a YouTuber.
Yeah.
And you want to give him some training wheels to get there.
We recently let our kid get on Instagram, and it was because of Bark.
That's right.
We let our kid, because we're less concerned, and because he's 15 and we're done parenting. But so tell him, but we also, we don't choose any sponsor for the pod. We like sponsors that makes sense and we use in our lives, and Bark is one of them, and the new Bark phone is something that we're really excited about, as well as Bark Technology is what we use constantly, and we have some promo codes and we have some details. Hit them, Melissa. Give them those sweet, sweet details.
All right. So you can manage screen time. You can block websites and apps. Mm-hmm. You can monitor text, email, YouTube, and 30 apps and platforms.
And he's excited.
You can get child psychologist advice and tips, even ways to approach kids when they mess up.
So how do they sign up? And how do they save some money, Melissa?
Let me tell you. if you click on the link in the show notes and enter Don't Make Me, all one word, Don't Make Me, you are going to get 7 days of a free trial for the Bark Premium subscription.
And?
As well as 15%
off for the lifetime of your subscription, baby.
That's right.
Boom. Do it.
Do it,
everybody.
Now.
Bark Technologies.
Keeping your kids safe online.
Would you, so I had a friend who messaged me this week. He's like a band manager, and he was like, you should do cruises and then like take your family in the summer. And it was like, it was an innocent enough question. I was like, I'm not going to do those or hell gigs. I don't want to do that. But not related to comedy, would you take your family on a cruise? Is that of any interest to you as a dad?
Like,
or have you before? Are you guys a cruise family?
I was able to take my wife once. I would do it again, but I would only, I did enough of them that the only one that I would go back to would be an Alaskan one, because there's hardly any kids. All the big like families go to the Caribbean because you just get to go to all the islands. But to me, it's like if you just want to go to the beach, you can go to Hawaii. Like Hawaii's cheaper and it's just better. I think. I think it's great.
Also, we live in Southern California,
right? There's, so it's already
the beaches are around.
They're fine.
And our beaches have homeless people, which is nice. You don't get that in Hawaii.
Yeah, they're very,
you guys don't have to
very
that
very yet. Elitist over there.
Yeah.
But I would go to Alaska if I took my family, because the nice thing about it, I mean, Alaska is already hard to get to, like any of the locations. So it's nice that you're basically just in a hotel that takes you to the cool spots, you know? And like I said, hardly any kids. So that's the only way that I would do that again. But yeah, it's for the amount of money that it is. I always just sort of like we stack that against potentially what else we could do for $12,000. It's like maybe it's not, you know, 4 days in the
car. Yeah, that's true. How does your family like to vacation?
We do like amusement parks. You brought that up. Mm-hmm. Do you guys disagree on that? You said you like to have that conversation.
Well, we're not a Disney family.
Oh, okay.
We just never really bit the bullet. You know, because you start counting the ticket prices in the hotel.
I don't think the experience.
And the hype is kind of lost on
it. I don't think the experience is exponentially worth
the cost
of how much more it is. And also just how unenjoyable of an overall experience it is in regards to lines. Like, it's just so much. Mm-hmm. Listen, 3/5 of our family has ADD. We're not like a line family.
Stand here and wait.
It's pretty pretty tough. It's not an easy
not a vacation.
That's why they're like beating the whales.
Because it's stimulating. Yeah. Like, at least we're swinging our arms.
They get their hyper focus.
Yeah.
On the
coordination. It's costly if you want it to be a good experience, because you have to, like, we go every other year because we have like friends who have season passes, and to me that just, you lose some of the magic, and I feel like kids become entitled. Like, I've heard a kid, you know, 7-8 years old at our church, that'll say something like, "Mommy, let's go to Disneyland tomorrow," like it's the park.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we never wanted that, but we have found that you can find crowd calendars online, and that's helped.
We have looked at that. That's
been helpful.
Real hot tip is, like, if you have a non-traditional calendar, like Andy's homeschools, like, then you can really go and it's not busy. We have two calendars and they're very traditional.
Sure.
And it's like our kids' spring breaks don't line up. Like,
oh yeah.
We're not weird homeschoolers. What about Easter
week? Spring break. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we're on a cult schedule.
Yeah, exactly. It's great for the line.
It's seasonal based on local farming and how much butter we can make in a week.
Yes.
Disneyland Mondays.
Yes. That's, what did, are you guys? You guys public school or
we homeschool? Okay. Actually.
That's fair.
We knew it.
This is who can pull off Disney, are the homeschoolers.
The homeschoolers run Disney.
During the week, they do.
They sure do.
Yeah. But we also, like, I mean, my daughter did go to, she's in college now, but she went to high school. But even then, we just took her out because we were like, high school doesn't matter. Right?
Well, so. I'm surprised.
We are taking our
That's why half the rides don't work.
Homeschoolers.
I was the I'm, last most.
So, no, no, you're up.
When I was at Wise Guys a couple months ago, and I had this.
That's a club in Salt Lake, everybody. Salt Lake.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's all right.
I used to have this question that I would ask, like, if there's a reason why you wouldn't live in California, what would it be? Just to see if, try and get, like...
You're opening it up there.
Right, yeah. Because there's always, like, but I'm always looking for, like, something that I haven't heard before. Like, that's the sort of crowd work that I like to do. I'll try and ask for, like...
I like to ask them how they met or what they do for work.
I hate that so much. Those comics that ruin the, you know how every crowd thinks that they don't want to sit in the front because the comic will make fun of us. Yeah. And like, we don't do that. And then to see some douchebag go like, so what do you do for a living? Or that old thing where like, how long have you been married? And this poor guy, he like, he did not know he was going to be picked on. So he hesitates for one second.
And then
the cop's
know?
Like, oh, you have to look to your wife for that? What an idiot. Yeah, it's like he paid to hear you talk.
He just wants to know who you are. You should be so glad that he's here.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like to ask people like what they're afraid of. Just looking for it, like if it's a unique thing, don't get too dark. Right. I always throw that in there. And I skip the people that are like snakes, sharks, bears. Not just because those are easy, but because I think audiences are smart enough to know that if I come back like, oh, you're afraid of sharks? Well, how about this zinger?
Yeah.
And people are going to be like, well, yeah, I'm sure he hears sharks all the time.
Yeah.
But every show, there's at least one person who will be like, the one woman was afraid of peacocks because of something that happened to her when she was a child. You know, that's the sort of thing that
I've learned before. Yeah. I like that.
The California thing, some people do have specific answers, but in Utah, there was so much anti-California hate.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's stop for a second. I was like, if you guys hate California so much, stop going to Disneyland. Okay.
Yeah.
I said, I know that you go there.
Yes.
Because when I'm in line, it's like every other family looks like a field trip. And those people aren't from Orange County.
You guys are all holding onto a rope.
Yeah,
a ring.
BYU.
Matching shirts.
Funny. I guess I'm just surprised that as a homeschool family that you would go to support, you know, Disney and their liberal socialist woke propaganda. I don't know how you know. They got gay candles getting married, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised as a homeschool cult leader, you would give them your hard-earned butter money.
I feel like we balance it out because we buy a bunch of stuff from Chick-fil-A on the way over.
You sneak Chick-fil-A in.
It neutralizes it.
Yeah.
we hate everyone. So.
Yeah. When I'm in this stance of like, I don't care, do whatever you want. You're like, I hate everybody equally. Yeah. I've gone on that like rant on this pod a few times. Like, I do think anyone who travels a lot, which any stand-up does, we have no affinity for anywhere. Every place is great. Every place sucks. Every place is terrible. Every place is great. I was in Columbus and Cleveland last weekend. There were moments that I was like, this is great. And there were moments I was like, this is the worst city in America.
Yeah.
And that's because every city is that way, you know? Right.
That's why I hate it so much when people generalize stuff.
Yeah.
Just a blanket statement of like, yeah, Santa Fe sucks. It's like, did it suck or... was there a layover that you had? Like, what? It's such a general, like, every city is such a complex system.
Yeah.
And it goes for when people are like, oh, yeah, Denver's the best. And it's like, no, what you're saying is you went to a museum and a coffee shop. And now you can say, Denver's the best.
Yeah. No, you had a very specific experience that merged based on your very specific context of a life, that those things happily got along together. Fantastic. Yeah. Like, you don't really actually love or hate a place. You're just a very specific person and had a very specific experience, and it worked out. And you don't like liberals, so you don't like California, and that's okay.
Right, that's it.
Great. That's it. Just say what it is. It's not a good or a bad place. It's just not what you like.
Exactly.
And don't go. I like everywhere.
Yeah,
tickets available at dustinickerson.com/shows. There is something to that too, where you're just like, again, the act's gonna work. Like, you will see. Like, anytime I see a comedian go way too far one direction, I'm like, you got to tour Portland still. You know, like, that's gotta. And I guess they just drive from outside of Portland. They come up from Salem.
Yeah.
So wait, I'm trying to place you because you started comedy in the Bay Area, but where are you from? Are you NorCal? Or are you?
Yeah, I grew up in the Bay Area, San Jose, San Francisco. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did your folks do?
My dad was an architect.
Okay.
Yeah. My mom stayed at home.
Yeah.
And
were you homeschooled growing up too?
I was, but it was like a different kind of homeschool because she was still like an '80s mom, so she wasn't there.
Where was she?
Shopping. Like an 80s mom? I don't know. Women be shopping. That was the whole every comedian in the 80s.
She was never present. There was no sense. She either had like talk radio on or she was on the phone and that was it.
Oh, she was in the home.
She was home, but she wasn't there. It was like, here are your school books. And if you can't figure it out, you know, that's your fault. That's basically what it was. And so it was like, you know how your mom would just, she would drag you to the mall and you just sort of followed her around.
Yeah.
And, and that was it. So, but that was so the irony to me because we homeschool our kids, but it's a very like, we're very proactive about what we're doing. You know, it's like, we just feel like we know our kids and we're blessed to have the sort of flexibility to be able to do it and to travel. And sometimes I take them with me and it makes that sort of thing easier. But also you have the opportunity to maybe teach more efficiently if you know how they learn. And that's a luxury that we appreciate. But for my mom, it was just like, I'm not letting the government teach my kids. Yeah. It was essentially like, I'm going to let them just not learn anything.
Yeah. And it's so funny because you're looking back and you're like, Mom, the government will never be more conservative than it is right now.
Yeah.
This is 1980s Ronald Reagan America. If there's ever a time for us to be public school, they give us a gun as we walk in. That's like, and they're like, this is the most conservative it's ever going to be. You could take a liberal from 1988, and that's a conservative right now. That's how conservative the 80s were such a swing from the 70s. Like, we need to tighten this up. We got this actor in charge now.
Yeah.
So that is funny you mentioned that. Like, it's amazing how much of your childhood really was just going on errands with your parents. And there was nothing worse as an experience as a child. To just be dragged, what's the word there? Drugged along. Is what that felt like.
I think with like Amazon and I don't know, Uber Eats, I guess, it just changed.
Yeah, well, I remember, you remember when you were a kid and your dad was like, you're like, hey, we got to take the car to get an oil change. There were no phones. Yeah, and you didn't go anywhere. You just sat in the waiting room for an hour.
And also,
he
didn't talk to you. So that's my problem. Is that like I love my kids so much that like I like an alarm will go off if we're in a grocery store in Costco or whatever, and I realize like I haven't been even listening to my son who's been tugging on my arm for 9 minutes or whatever. I will get down and be like, hey buddy, you know, maybe let's check this out over here. There was none of that.
No,
none of like do I exist in this world?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
They weren't happy you were there either. Everyone was so unhappy about that trip. He's like, I gotta put a car, you know, gotta put money into this, you know, I'm so mad about this. You're like, am I a metaphor for the car right now? Or it's all, or like when you would, I became a latchkey kid and like my dad, and I think it was because we were all just like, okay, if I don't have to go to Albertsons with you anymore, great. Because I'm just like a 9-year-old, just like, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? And you know, like, she's not, I'm not even really getting a yes or a no.
Well,
At a certain point, I'm just asking the cashier.
So I was thinking about this because I remember you saying how you got the alarm clock for like Christmas.
Yeah.
I remember when you got, when you were
when I was in kindergarten, my dad got me an alarm clock
for Christmas, like colorful. But that was not just like a gift. Like, he was going to get himself to school with his sister.
Sister, yeah.
It was like, three and a half years older than him.
My folks' context here. My folks split when I was 5, and it was like the fall, I think, of like my kindergarten year. And there was a little bit of a minute there where we did have a sitter who would like my dad would go to work at like 5 a.m. So we would wake up and he would like put us in the van and we would go to her house and then we would walk into school with her and her kids. That lasted for a pretty short period of time because that had to be expensive and it was, you know, my dad was paying for it. And then he's like, or Jessica, my sister's in 2nd grade. He's in kindergarten. Alarm clocks for Christmas. You know, like that's what you guys get for Christmas. So that was it. It wasn't the only thing I got for Christmas. It was like a little kid one too. It was like I remember it had like little like drawings and stuff on it. It was yellow and blue. It was a little kid's alarm clock. I'm like, why does this exist?
For latchkey kids,
it had the voice of a nice mom waking me up. Breakfast is ready, sweetie.
Yeah. thinking about it because we're going on this trip for work. I'm going to be gone like 8 days, okay. which is a long time for me. And
for a woman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A woman can
travel.
Out of
the house for a fish out of water.
Did you approve this?
But Dustin's dad is going to be getting our littlest out the door. Okay. That's going to be kind of his role. And I was thinking about the alarm clock because our littlest is 9.
Yeah.
And she still needs a lot of help. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about you doing all that at 5.
I was
That was the '80s for you.
Yeah, that was the '90s. I was talking to Claire yesterday. I don't even remember what it was. She was complaining about something.
Homework.
Yeah. And I started with when I was your age. I hadn't gotten to the next word. She's like, I don't wanna hear it. Claire is a thing called
She does that. She does this when if you fact check her, then she goes,
you ever made a mistake before?
Mr. Perfect? That's her name.
Okay, Mr. Perfect, you've never made a mistake before?
That's such like a political, like a politician debate.
Yeah.
Where they can't argue their point, so they're just going to discredit the other person. Says the guy with the bad hairdo. You know, it's like, but.
I know. I told her the other day she had homework. She said fake news. I was like, would you hear that from the failing New York Times? Claire has a thing called oppositional defiance disorder, which when explained to me like a good 80s, 90s kid, I immediately rolled my eyes at it. And then it got explained to me and I was like, oh, no, she has that. Mm. Like, and it really is the basic idea of like most people when they are met with any type of like criticism or feedback, it like hurts or you don't receive it super well. But her brain does have a pretty biological, visceral response where it physically, and you can see it happen. And it's not like in the 80s, it was called being a brat, you know, sure. or being stubborn. Mm-hmm. But then you watch it more closely and being a parent of other kids, you go like, I don't know, that's something. It's not. You're just watching it biologically affect them, and you're like, this was no choice that she made right here, you know? Yeah. Like, and again, in the 80s, I will just spank it out of her. And you're like, no, that's not going to help.
No.
Yeah, no, that's going to do more damage long term. Trust me. But it was when we described it was funny. I do a joke about it on my special, Runs of the Family, available on YouTube, about when it was described and we read a little bit more about it. We're like, I think you had this as a kid, Mel. And explain something.
Oh. Still have it.
We were going to get... So you're saying for Christmas, we are going to get Claire an alarm clock,
is what
you're
going to say.
Colorful mm-hmm. ones? Good. Yeah. What are we going to get? Do we need to get you a louder one for... Oh. No. Don't. I see the segue. Okay. I'm doing it. No. Mine's a little less... Mine was a little less on the nose, but you ruined that so much. Okay, backseaters, listen. At the beginning of this podcast, now I have to do full director's cut behind the scenes.
My bad. I ruined it.
Kellen was like, oh, actually, there might have a Christmas gift thing we can get into. Not a bit. This is not Morning Zoo Radio. But the gift thing came up, and about 5 minutes ago, I was like, oh, we can get into this, but I'm not going to ask him directly what's a good gift to get for your wife. What I was going to do was make a joke about getting you one and then talk about how we need to get you in a louder alarm clock because you have a hard time sleeping in. See how that's, and then we were like, well, what, speaking of gifts, see how much more subtle mine was going to be? I was going to kind of get us like 3 steps there and you heard gift and you were going to go, Kellen, I think you had a funny story.
In Melissa's defense, this whole thing right now is way more inorganic.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. But I have felt like I had no other choice now. I felt like...
Well, hot dog, speaking again.
Anyways, what's your thing, Kellen? Yeah.
Tell us something funny.
I will bring it back in. The gifts actually are an interesting thing in our relationship because they have never... It's never gone well.
Huh.
In the history of our relationship, a gift is never, you got me something for Christmas that I actually, what was it, a mug? You got me something this last Christmas that
A Larry Sanders mug?
You got me a Larry Sanders mug, which I really like.
That's cool.
Yeah, I like that. And then there was another shirt.
Oh,
you got me a Mariner shirt that I really like. Oh, you got me a beanie.
A Easy Street beanie.
This was our 20th Christmas together, and you got me three good gifts. But she tells me not to get her things.
Why is that?
It's too much.
Too much?
I'm done. I already bought everybody gifts, and I'm bad at gifts. So get me anything.
But you don't want me to get you anything because, if I may, it's not what you want. You want to get exactly what you want. You don't. Mm. The idea of a thoughtful gift where I surprised you and I thought of you with this, totally lost on her. There's none.
I want to go on a trip. You know.
Yeah. She's like, I would have spent this on something else.
Take me on X. You know,
what's the dynamic?
But when you give her the wrong gift, are you like, "What? You never made a mistake in your life."
Mrs. Perfect.
Perfect
here. What's the gift? What's the gift giving dynamic for you and your wife?
Well, first, before I forget, were you talking about an alarm clock with a mother's voice? I had this idea for. Have you seen those teddy bears that you can, or you actually record
so
that your child goes to bed with your voice or whatever? I thought it would be amazing to just hack those bears so that it is for 30-35 minutes. It's your voice talking to your kid or singing to your kid, and then it just stops, and then you hear hey Jessica, this is the devil.
Oh my gosh.
Go outside. Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
No,
anyway,
that's the whole idea.
That was it. Yeah,
the opposite of
the parent's voice stops. Satan's voice interrupts.
That's hilarious.
And, so
it's really
that
good.
Was just a fun gift idea.
Yeah.
But the other one.
That sounded like an article from the Babylon Bee.
Hey, Jessica.
Yay.
But the greatest gift, and I'm saying this because I also made it up. I think the greatest gift that I've given my wife that I think anyone could give anyone is what I did was one year it took weeks. I had to plan this all out. I went back through the past full year of our text messages, and I took screenshots of all the notable ones, and I categorized them. So exchanges that were funny, or something that cute that one of the kids said, mm-hmm. or something sexy, and I put them into a book. I made a photo book, and the different chapters are these different exchanges, and I call it a textbook. can't steal that part of the idea. But anyway, my wife,
yeah, that's really good.
And we so I've done it twice now. And we twice a year, we'll go back to one of them, and we laugh harder than we ever do.
Aww.
Because it's such and these are moments that these are a lot of them were some of them were the worst days of that year.
Yeah.
And it's one of us is having a terrible day and the other one makes a dumb joke and being able, and sometimes it was ill-timed, but it's that whole it's funny later, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it's just a book full of just your interaction with your spouse.
Yeah.
And I don't write everything down that my kids say, you say something you won't believe what she said, and then it's just forgotten. So it's full of cute moments, it's full of, and plenty of rated R stuff. This definitely, my wife and I have this deal, whoever dies first, the other one has to burn the book before they die. Because it's not something you want posterity to have.
Yeah.
Oh, look at all this sexting. I had no idea that great grandma Abby was so
pretty gross. Why they kept sending the those emojis?
But I love it because it's just a lot. I mean, not tooting my own horn, but I like it because it's not something that you can just buy. There are plenty of those things too. I buy jewelry for that also means a lot. But this is just another type of thing where it's it's this evidence that they took time.
Right.
AI can't make this at this point.
First thought is that you are such a better husband than me, because if I were to want to document our texting exchanges, they would be like, see this time I was right.
Well, that's a chapter you guys gonna have.
See this time you said you were gonna do a thing and you didn't do it. See this time this time that I clearly said I needed a kind word.
So yours would just be a book of evidence?
Exactly. Yeah. Mine would be very petty. And even if I did give you a nice one, I can hear even as he's describing it, you would be like, nah. You should know.
I've never heard of that. That's cool.
Well, because he made it
That's
up.
Cool.
That's why you never.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so unique and original.
Oh, well, thanks for making me look like a bad husband on my own podcast, buddy. Thanks a lot.
That's a good idea. All right. I like it.
Promote your
like
tour dates and get off my podcast, Kellen. Now, Kellen is where do we go to get tickets for your upcoming shows, buddy? Why don't you get at that phone there? All the
go to KellenErskine.com.
That was available.
I should get CalvinEarthshine.com.
Calvin Earthshine is so good. Calvin Earthshine sounds like he's performing at a casino somewhere tonight. Yeah.
So I don't know where this is. I'm gonna be let's see. Louisville Comedy Club, April 19th, April 20th to the 22nd. I'm gonna be in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Summit City. Oh. Comedy Club.
You're all the same owner, FYI.
Okay.
Yeah.
April 26th to the 29th, I'm going to be at Tacoma and the
same owner
and Spokane Comedy
four
Club.
For four. Okay. This guy likes
there
you.
There we go. So there's some.
That was a group booking there right there.
And I've got a podcast, the Book Pile Podcast, which you're going to be on, or which you already were.
I might have already been on.
Yeah. Check out the episode with Dustin Dickerson.
But,
yeah, it's me and Dave Vance. It's a comedy podcast, but we cover a different book every week.
Right.
And sometimes we make fun of books. Those are some of my favorite
episodes.
He's
the funny guy on the pod, right?
Is that?
Everyone's like, he's so funny. I think that guy is hilarious. And Kellen's on it too. All right, buddy. Thanks for doing the pod.
Yeah.
Have a great day, everybody.
All right, bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening, everyone. Want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. Mm-hmm. You know about them, Melissa?
I sure do.
There are $25 a month and up patrons. Our best of the best. Thank you so much. So, special shout out to Adam Bush,
Avril Griffiths,
Bonnie Galindo,
Caroline Crimmins,
Carrie Teague,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Eibling,
Damaris Diaz Stevens,
David and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Farrah Journey,
Isaac Taron,
Jason White,
Jennifer Ashley Downs,
Jessica Sewell,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Lori Amos,
Matt and Sam Slosdom,
Nathan and Jennifer Merritt,
Nicole Carraz,
Rachel Wilson,
Rachel Kennedy,
Robert and Nellie Capin,
Stephen Mena,
and Tiffany Payne.
Thank you so much, everybody. You guys are the best. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I love you so much. Thank you. Good night. Goodbye, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.